to Proverbs chapter 31. I was preaching down here in West Virginia at Rollinsburg Baptist Church, and Brother Scott Coffey was there. He preached earlier in the week. He said, "I got to tell you, my kids, they just, every time you log on and say live from Buffalo Creek, they just start squealing. They think it's so funny." And he said, "And they keep telling me, Dad, why don't you do live from Booton Creek when you do yours?" And he said, "It's already taken, kids." I got a kick out of that. The Coffee kids, especially the boy and one of the daughters, every time I see them, wherever I'm at, they know I'm going to ask them this. I say, "Did you have your coffee today?" And they say, "Brother Ross." And Scott told me, he said, "You know, every time my kids see you, they always say, he's going to ask us about the coffee." I love teasing kids. I know it's something wrong with me probably, but it's a lot of fun. All right, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 18. "She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. The virtuous woman's diligent work habits also yield quality merchandise. She takes great care in making what she intends to sell, and her desire is to produce a good product that the buyer or the person she's bartering with will be pleased with." This is really a really important aspect of economy, of the economy. Capitalism at its root is this simple: an individual or a business providing a good or service that is desirable by others, for others, producing a good enough product that when you sell it or you barter with it, that you make a profit on it. You get something in return. That's the essence of a good economy. But I was struck with the fact that she wanted to make her merchandise good. It was important to her. And that ought to be the attitude of everyone who provides goods and services to the public. My dad taught me this when I was just young. He said, "You should want to be the best worker wherever you go, whatever you do. You have agreed to get paid a certain amount, and you ought to do everything in your power to be the best that you can possibly be if you're in your own business, if you're working for somebody, because that is so essential that you have integrity in the work you produce, in the products that you produce." And all of us should be concerned with the fruits of our labor. This woman did not do things haphazardly. She didn't do it halfway. In fact, the verse says that she layeth her hand to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Her candle goeth not out by night. If it required her to work extra to get it done, she was willing to do that. And if a job requires her to work by candlelight, she perseveres until her work is satisfactorily completed. Teach your kids these principles. Now, one way that you teach your kids these principles is you live them out. You have to teach your kids. And now, the way our society has devolved, grandparents have to do a lot in the instruction of children, because a lot of times the mom and dad are both at work. I don't think that's the best way to do things. But the fact is, there are at least one generation, maybe two generations, of young people who don't know what it means to take pride in their work, in what they do, the product they, or the labor that they offer. I was shocked when Aaron started working at Lowe's. And about every week he would tell me, oh yeah, they called off. Yeah, they just called off. And it was a phrase completely foreign to me. When I was working, you never said called off. The only way that you called in is you called in sick. And I hardly ever called in sick. For one reason, I worked for my dad. And then even beyond that, I just didn't feel like it was right to put my employer in the lurch. Because you're talking about one whole shift that'll have to be, everybody else will have to pitch in and try to cover it. That's not right. But we've got a whole generation of young people today. You know what? I want to go to the mall. Of course, I guess I'm dating myself. Nobody goes to the mall anymore. Young people don't. I want to go on to Amazon. Whatever else they do, nonsense. But we need to teach people the importance of work and the importance of taking pride in what you produce and what you do. George Lawson said this: notwithstanding her activity, she is never in such a hurry as to do her work in a slight and superficial manner. Her merchandise is known to be good and brings a ready market and a good price, and her knowledge of this is sufficient reward of itself for her toils. For when the lazy are perpetually uneasy by their reflections on their own conduct, the consciousness of having done her duty and the prospect of the advantages arising from it are a constant source of satisfaction and cheerfulness to the virtuous woman. This is another point that I want to bring out. When you do good work, it not only is a blessing to other people, it'll make you feel good. When you know that you have done a job that's well done, there's something special about that. I remember when I worked at the meat shop and then worked at, when I had my own meat case there at Bob and Carl's in Wilmington. There was something special. I'd get there early in the morning, do all my cutting and planning and setting up that case. And then about 10 or 11 o'clock, I'd go out front and just look at it, see if there were any holes in it, you know, where, in meat cutter lingo, it's not a literal hole. It means there's not meat there, so you have to put something in there. But I'd go out there and I'd view the whole thing. And if everything was looked great, it just made me feel good. And then I'd start selling it all. And the next day, that case would be, we called it, it was wiped out. It'd start the hot process all over again. That's the beauty of meat cutting. You actually can see what you're getting done. You can't do that in ministry. I've been preaching for 39 years, and I don't know what I've got done. A lot of times, I feel like I'm a failure, but ultimately, eternity will reveal. the tedious work of spinning was often relegated to servant maids in ancient households. If you were a household of some means, you would hire people to work in your household. Well, the virtuous woman considers no honest labor beneath her. She will do what needs to be done, even if it requires her to do work that is unpleasant and work that is tedious. Perseverance in a difficult task is an admirable quality of the virtuous woman. That tells a lot about your character. When you're able to do something that most people consider to be unpleasant or tedious or difficult, but still must be done. And that was her attitude. And I love the fact that she thought no labor was beneath her. We all need to have that kind of attitude. There's nothing beneath us. We ought to be willing to pitch in and help when somebody needs help around the church, whatever it is. Kenny Blevins shows up every year at when we work on the building, which we did not do this year, and you can tell it. And you're saying, well, who does the bushes? You know who does the bushes. I do the bushes most of the time. And now, Dick Ballmer's been helping me some on the bushes, and Ron Cochran some. But the bushes are just out of control this year. I'd like to hire a bushman. Try to get them things straightened up and cleaned up. Listen, I've lost sleep over them bushes through the years. Where was I going with this? Kenny Blevins. I've been coming here, I've been working at this church, pastoring this church for, next year will be 28 years. Kenny always shows up, and he does stuff that nobody else wants to do. Nobody else wants to rake up the poison ivy and the bush trimmings and make sure they're all put into the pickup or in a trash container and put in a pickup truck. People don't like doing that. Kenny does it. He never ever complains about it. Just quietly does it. And I tell you, we got good people in our church. I'm thankful for all the work and labor that people do, but nothing's beneath us. There's something special about that kind of attitude in a congregation. And I fear that in America we are losing this work ethic. People want something for nothing. For not doing anything. I don't know why. It aggravates me that we just give money to people who are not producing anything. If people are sick and they're handicapped and they can't do things, or I guess I should say disabled now, yeah, help people. But I'll tell you what, I don't think it's the government's responsibility just to put money in people's bank accounts. It doesn't make good sense to me. Well, like I've said many times, I'm a dinosaur. I was raised in an old school way that you work for everything you get. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. The diligence and work ethic of the virtuous woman. Got a typo there. Have to correct that before we publish this one. Not only is employed in the work of tending to the needs of her family, it spills over in gifts of charity to the poor and the unfortunate. The very best works of charity are those that come from a heart that's full of love and kindness, person to person. And thank God for homes where sacrificial giving is taught and practiced. What a blessing it is to see a husband and wife committed to helping others and teaching this grace to their children. This godly woman is not selfish. She's not self-centered. Rather, her eyes are enlightened to see the plight of the poor and the needy. Her heart is open and burdened to show kindness to others in need when she is able. We're missing this virtue in our society. It used to be this way. That verse that says if a man doesn't provide for his own house, if a man provide not for his own, especially they of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. It used to be in times of scarcity that families bound together. They looked out for each other. They helped one another. They shared with one another. And if that wasn't enough, then churches and other individuals would kick in and would help and be an encouragement and a blessing in some way. Today, the philosophy is, let the government do it. Now, I think there's times when people need to be helped by the government. But it's almost like the government now thinks that they're a big nanny and that they're to take care of everybody. And that's how the people say, you know, the representatives and presidents, and if you'll vote for me, I'll make sure to take care of this need and that need, and I'll bring this back to our state. How about just making sure that our country's running efficiently? How about that? How about staying out of a lot of things and just letting people live and now, as I said, I think there's times when the government should help. But I don't think people should be completely dependent upon the government. That's not how this nation was founded. It was founded by people of rugged individualism who were self-reliant and who just wanted to be able to work and worship and go on about their business. But you and I need to be more conscious of people that we can help. There are a lot of poor, unfortunate folks. And if it's within our power to do them good, we ought to do them good. Because we live in a world that is literally consumed with selfishness. Very rarely do people look beyond their own needs to be a blessing to others. And I fear that the grace of person-to-person charity and grace is a lost art in our day. It seems that many acts of kindness, when they are performed, are motivated by the idea of reciprocity, where people give to others with hopes of receiving something in return. In fact, that's a lot of what politics has become. And I think about our Lord. In the greatest act of charitable love, freely gave Himself, His life, His merits, His precious blood, knowing full well that none of those that He redeemed would ever be able to pay Him back the full purchase price. Were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. We're redeemed with the blood of the everlasting covenant. We are bought with a price that no one other than God knows the full import, weight, and worth. He gave everything for us. He loved us and gave Himself for us in the greatest display of free and sovereign grace that the world has ever known. Or will ever know. This is why I believe there's no other way to God except through the Lamb that He's appointed. No other religion can say that their God was willing to give His all to save those who were considered His enemies, who were hostile to Him, who had broken His laws, and were rebellious. And yet this is the grace that our Lord Jesus displayed. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor. That we, through His poverty, might be made rich. He took my place. I have nothing to give God. I was a beggar on the dung heap of my own depravity. I was a stench in the nostrils of a holy God. I was covered with filth, wallowing in the mire. And Jesus Christ took my place. Took all of my foul and odious and ungodly sins and willingly took them upon Himself. The Bible says He bore our sins in His body on the tree. The Lord Jesus was willing to literally have my sins heaped upon Him. And then the wrath of God poured out. He died for me. And through His death and resurrection, He put away my sins. The miracle of miracles. He gave me something that I had no ability to ever earn or procure or purchase. The righteousness of God, the very thing necessary to stand accepted before the throne of God, the righteousness of God. And through the work of Jesus Christ, He gave me, He freely gave me His righteousness. So that now I can say I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm complete in Him. The Father who said of His Son, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now the Father looks at me through the righteousness of His Son, and He can say, "This redeemed one that's in My Son, I'm well pleased with him." The greatest act of love and charity the world has ever known. Oh, that we might heed the words and follow the example of our blessed Master. If you're not saved here today, I ask you today to turn away from any opinions you might have and just simply submit and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has promised rewards in His kingdom to those who engage in purposeful acts of kindness to the less fortunate. See, we're not just saved. We're not redeemed and justified just to be able to say, "Hey, I'm going to heaven now." No. We're bought with a price so that we can serve God and live for Him and follow the example of Christ and share His message of grace and glory and salvation to everyone within our sphere of influence and even beyond through mission work. Here's what Jesus, in Matthew 25, this is the judgment of the nations. "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And that's the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign. "For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." And the King shall answer and say unto them, "Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me." What an amazing truth expressed in that passage. The Lord looks at acts of kindness and charity person to person as individuals. This is not talking about the government. It's talking about believers helping others. He looks at those acts of kindness and charity done to others as if they were done unto Him. So let us be mindful of this as God providentially provides opportunities in our daily walk to practice this grace of charity. There's a lot of ways you can do it too. I try my best. I love the statement Josh made in his Sunday school lesson last week. Was that last week? I think it was. When he was talking about Dawson Trotman and his philosophy. And that was to do good unto someone every day. To make your life count. And be a blessing to somebody else every day. There's little ways you can do that. Each and every day. If you just open your eyes and open your heart and start to think of ways that you can be a witness that you belong to the Lord Jesus and that other people see Him in you. May God help us. We're dismissed.